Good evening. I believe I'm being messed with. That's okay. It's great to have you over here, just be careful. If you may be getting spit on by the inside. It is good to be back here this evening. It was a wonderful day for me yesterday, and I pray that it was for you. Thank you, Josh, for those kind words. I appreciate that. It is good to be back with the folks here at Harlan, and I know we have several other congregations represented here tonight, brothers and sisters in Christ that are sharing in the service tonight, and I'm thankful to have everyone here. I want to start with a story that is represented as true. I had no idea. During the Napoleonic Wars, I do know this part, sir. During the Napoleonic Wars, men were drafted into service into Napoleon's army. And no reason was accepted for refusing. Either you agreed to serve, or you died. On one particular fall day, the men who had been assigned to gather new recruits came to a small farm with several children playing in the yard. And out in the garden, they spied the man of the house. The soldiers went back and requested the man come with them immediately to serve his term in the army. The man answered the soldiers that he had been killed in combat for Napoleon 2 years earlier. That's right, that's right. Flabbergasted, the man asked the farmer to repeat what he had said. So once again, the man said that he would not serve because he had been killed 2 years before. The soldiers by this time were furious, but they asked, how could this possibly be? The farmer told them that when he had been drafted 2 years ago, a young man of the village had volunteered to take his place. This young man had no wife, no children, he had no family. So he would take the farmer's name and his place in the draft. The farmer said that the young man had been killed in action only 2 weeks after leaving home. Therefore, said the farmer, I have already given my life for Napoleon and will not go with you. The case of the farmer who had been killed 2 years earlier went all the way before Napoleon himself, who declared that the government had no legal or civil right to have this man serve in the army. After all, he had already given his life for his country. That's a story of sacrifice. Story of friendship. The young man had willingly offered his life in the place of the farmer, with a family. But the young man had also given his life voluntarily into the service of his country. On his part, the young man had volunteered to serve Napoleon. He was, after a fashion, an ambassador. This evening we're going to look at the idea of reconciliation, that the idea of being an ambassador. And if you were interested, the sermon title is The Ministry of Reconciliation. The Ministry of Reconciliation. And we're looking at it through the eyes of an ambassador. For example, what does it mean to be an ambassador? What sacrifices must be made to be an ambassador? Am I? Are we ambassadors? And if we are, for whom? If you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to turn to the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In this passage, Paul shares about the idea of being an ambassador for Christ. And he mentions often the ministry of reconciliation, the idea of reconciliation. Let's go ahead and read together. My scripture for the message tonight begins in verse 18, but I'd like to begin with verse 17, if that would be all right, and it will, because I'm going to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning verse 17, now through the end of the chapter. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has given to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray today before we dig into God's word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you have given each of us to gather here tonight. I thank you for each household represented, for each congregation represented, Father, and we know that we are one body in Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for the opportunity given me to be able to speak on your behalf, and I pray that you help me to do just that, to step aside, to speak your words, and Father, to do the very best that I can as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bless your word tonight, that each of us might recognize the responsibility that we have, the great blessings that we have been given, and Father, the opportunity that you have laid before each of us to represent you to the lost and dying world. Bless us, and may our time together tonight be a blessing to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And grinning has nothing whatsoever to do with the sermon and everything to do with the sound that my knees make when I stand up. I don't have to tell this, but I'm going to. I want to. Well, there's a young lady in her 30s. Yes, that's young. A young lady in her 30s that sits there in the back row. And I go over there in the back row. And one Sunday morning, I had prayed and I stood up and my knee apparently cracked a little bit louder than it normally does. And she laughed from the back row about my knee cracking like that. I thought, so I stand up. I listen to that now to see how much of a distraction that's going to be. So, and I'm sure the folks up here who have very good hearing understand. So the first idea of this passage is that to become ambassadors for Christ, we have been reconciled to God. Now maybe that doesn't seem like a big deal. Maybe, if you've been raised up in the church, it's just always been that way, right? You've just always been in church. You grew up in church. You can't ever remember a time when you weren't in church. And maybe even if you were in a denominational church, you understand it. You've been going to church services anyway for most of your life. And at some point, you came to the Lord's church. I have a little different story. And I don't think it makes me appreciate what I have any more than anybody else, but I think it makes my, it's a little bit different, all right, than most people. I believe this is true. Because I was not raised in the Lord's church. And I was not raised in the denominational church. I was raised not going anywhere to church. My family, we went to church when we went to weddings. And that would leave a lot of those. And but I want all of us to realize, each and every one of us, if we are in Christ, and this is why I wanted to read verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so if we are in Christ, it doesn't matter if you were raised a pagan like me, or if you were raised in the denominational church, or if you were raised right here in this congregation, it doesn't matter. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away, the whole new things have come. We have been made new. And part of that being made new is that God reconciled us to himself through Christ. If we look back to the second just before this passage here, we see that all these things, here's what all these things refer to. A new kind of love, the love that we have through Christ. A new kind of brotherhood, the brotherhood of all believers, the church. and a new kind of life. The eternal life given through Jesus. New and eternal and, as we spoke yesterday, abundant life in Christ. And all of these things are given to us by our Heavenly Father. We can never attain any of those gifts apart from God's wonderful grace. Can we just sing a song about that? You go like this. Yes, we did. We just sing a song about that, right? On what day did you become a Christian, right? On what day did He save you? And it was by the grace of God, right? And the reason that any of these gifts have been made available to us is because of what God has done. What God has done to reconcile sinful men to a holy God, to the holy God. He has brought us back from the place that we were, from the place that we had then. And again, it doesn't matter what our life was before Christ. We were separated from God because of our personal sins. And that's the place that we were. If you go and look at the verse there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, have you ever heard that before? Heard that quoted before? I'm going to turn to it. Because right now, my brain went, man, that's horrible. What kind of church of Christ preacher am I? I can't quote Acts 2, 38. Good night. That's what y'all were thinking. By the way, when I say y'all, I do not mean anything derogatory at all about the state of Kentucky. I love them. I did. I enjoyed that very much. And they taught me how to talk differently. Peter said then, repent, you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? You know what it says? Yes, that's what it says. A lot of you had that verse memorized, and you know it, and you knew it, and you knew it, and you wonder why I couldn't recite it. That's okay. You know that's okay. So here's what it says. Repent, you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We're going to talk about the word for. The word for, depending on who your Greek teacher was either ice or ace. And the majority of times that word is translated, or that word is used in the New Testament, it is translated as into. Into. So there is this place, let's put it over on this side, shall we? There is this place where sins are forgiven. It's called the grace of God. Right? Saving grace of God. There's this place. And how do we get into that place? Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ into the forgiveness of your sins. Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking about this is where we had been. We had been here. And wherever here was, it was not in the forgiveness of sins. It was not in the grace of God. That's where we had been. That's where each of us was in our life before Jesus Christ. That's where we were. And He has brought us out of that. And that place, no matter where it was slavery to sin, and we had to place ourselves in. Paul describes it this way in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, He could write we were. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. It's the same idea. This is what you were, but by the grace of God, now you are here. Now you are in Christ. Now you are in the grace of God. We had separated ourselves from our loving Father, from His mercy, from His grace, from His care. But through His grace, we were able to come back into that right relationship with Him. And we have come back into that right relationship with Him. If we are in Christ. But that relationship was only made possible through Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 reminds us, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And he's talking about the name of Jesus, of course. God reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Even when we were helpless to save ourselves, even when we were considered as enemies of God, God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How have we been reconciled to God? This one is here. Now these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. How are we able to come back into that right relationship with our Heavenly Father? Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, one of my favorite verses in scriptures, Christians are reminded, in him we have redemption through his blood. How do we get into Christ? How do we get into that place that is the forgiveness of sins? Only through the blood of Jesus. Only in Jesus do we have redemption. Only in Jesus can we be reconciled to God. And because God has reconciled us to himself, we are, therefore, ambassadors of him. Not ambassadors with authority. All the authority we have is right here. But we are ambassadors. We are representatives of God to our world. And because we are ambassadors, we have a responsibility. The conclusion of verse 18 and verse 19 say that God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not cutting their trespass against them as he has. And he has given to us the word of reconciliation. See, because we have been brought back into that right relationship with our Heavenly Father, because each of us has been brought back into that right relationship with God through Jesus, we have been given the awesome privilege and responsibility of bringing others into that same relationship. Isn't that good news? Isn't that a great job to have? Man, I don't know. I used to go swimming pools. Some of you know that. And I really enjoy doing that. That was a lot of fun. I got to go outside. I miss working outside now. I'm missing working with my hands now. The only working I do with my hands now is with these two fingers and this thumb. And that's it. I miss that. But I enjoy doing that. I mean, and I assume there's some here that really enjoy their work, right? You enjoy what you do. Yeah, and you tell them, they ask, what do you do for a living? I do this, and you're excited about it. You tell them this, I get to this, and that's great. But we bring the most greater privilege no matter what it is. No matter what it is that we do, we have this privilege of reconciling the world to God. That is our privilege. That is our responsibility. That relationship that we're to cultivate goes beyond our own relationship with Christ. You understand that, right? We talked last night about discipleship, about what a disciple looks like, and about some of the attributes of disciples to have in their own life. Then that relationship that we have with God goes beyond our relationship with just God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Contrary to many popular theories today, God is not attempting to redeem only a few elect people for salvation. God wants to reconcile the entire world with himself. You understand that, right? That is the will of God. Peter writes it this way, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient for you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God wants everybody to come to him. God wants everybody to be reconciled to him. That is his will. And of course, there's that most well-known verse of Scripture. God so loved the world. Then he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, commissions Christians, us, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Man, isn't that great? We're all preachers. Aren't you happy about that? Before God goes up. We have to, by the way, that word for that preach, that word proclaim. Just to tell people, just to talk, just to share, just to let people know about Jesus. To let them know that God wants them, God loves them, God wants them to come back to him. Just like he wanted us to come back to him. And has brought us back through Jesus. Our relationship, our personal relationship with Christ is absolutely vital, so important. It has, of course, an eternal consequence. Based on that relationship that we have with God, we have a responsibility. And that responsibility of each Christian, not just each paid professional preacher, but of each Christian, is to share the fact that God is in the process of reconciling the world to himself. Now I'm going to ask a question, and it's okay. This is not rhetorical. You're welcome to answer if you would like. Okay? I you two options. I make it easy, right? Multiple choice, and there are only two choices. And here they are. Good, bad. Those are your options. Everybody got it? Don't let your hand up. I try not to do that anymore. So, here the options are good, bad, good, bad. When we talk in the church about the world, are we saying they're good or bad? Come on, you know the answer. Say it.
Bad.
Bad. Oh, world bad. Oh, the world's bad. Oh, the world.
We're in the world.
Right? We're in the world. We're out of the world. We're all those kind of things. Heard those things, right? What does God think about the world? What? He loves it. And you know, even not, we're not talking about, we're not talking about the, you know, the physical stuff, right? We're talking about the planet itself or the trees. We're not. We're talking about the people. For God so loved people. Those people who are outside of Christ. For God so loved them. And we are to go to all the world. The same ones that God loves. And let them know. God loves you. God loves you so much he allowed his son to die for you. Because he wants you to come home. A big part of our ministry is understanding what Paul wrote in the middle of verse 19. Not counting their trespasses against them. Now, I go to those folks, but man, they're heathens. I go to those folks, but they're sinners. I go to those folks, but they're wicked. Yeah, that's what people outside of Christ are. And that's where we go. To them. That doesn't mean that God doesn't consider sin to be a serious business. That's not the idea of this verse. Nor does it mean that we can excuse sin in their life or our own. It simply means that in spite of the sin in their life, we take the message of salvation to a lost and dying world. That's our responsibility. That's our privilege. That's our commission. If you want to use that word. It is our responsibility, remember now, as ambassadors, ministers of reconciliation, it's our responsibility to represent Christ and to share his message with the world. In fact, he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, the scripture says. If the world's going to know the grace of God through Jesus, it's going to have to be through the church of Christ. So we're going to have to accept our responsibility as ministers, as servants, as ambassadors. In our speech, in our conduct, in our attitudes, in our very lives, we need to reflect Jesus Christ. And because we're ambassadors for Christ, God employs each Christian. In verse 20, Paul illustrates our commission as ambassadors. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Man, that's pretty good, isn't it? Apostle Paul, probably, arguably the greatest evangelist ever walked the face of the earth. Arguably, apart from Jesus. Arguably the greatest missionary ever walked the face of the earth, apart from Jesus. And here's the Apostle Paul saying, God making an appeal through us. Guess what, church? God is still making that appeal through us. God is appealing to that world out there through us. Based on our own reconciliation in Christ. Now, according to Mary Webster, I look this up. Ambassador is an authorized representative or messenger. An authorized representative or messenger. Each and every Christian is to be a representative, authorized by God, and a messenger of good news. Remember what the angel said when they came after Jesus was born and they talked to the shepherds? What did they say? Don't be afraid. We bring you what? Well, you know this. You're here every Christmas time. But good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Man, I'm so excited. That's good. You ever get excited about anything? Yeah, man, we get excited. Yes, sir. Is that what it was? With ice cream or something. Oh man, I was excited. I'll tell you what, it's because I was, thank you so much. That was good. That was good stuff. We get excited about stuff, don't we? How about, what's it, over $100,000 for the Christian home? Are you excited about that? It's fantastic. $100,000. That's exactly what I'm excited about. That's good stuff. I already talked to you about the sports teams, right? I have. But believe I will. Believe I will, man. I'm going to pick up grandparents here. But there are things we get excited about, we don't tell people about. This is something that we really ought to get excited about. We are an ambassador, we are a representative authorized by the living God. So simply tell people about Him and what He has done. As though God will make an appeal through us. Maybe one of the most daunting and humbling phrases in Scripture. When I read that phrase, I am overwhelmed. As though God Himself, the one who spoke creation into existence, the one who spoke the universe into existence, the one who continues to uphold all things by the word of His power. Wait a minute. He's making an appeal to me? Yeah. He's making an appeal through each of us? Yes. When I stop to contemplate the many millions of souls that will be condemned for all eternity. Now you think about that, right? Jesus said there are a few, and He gives a number, a few, who will find salvation. The majority will not. Right? So when I contemplate the billions of souls that are going to be condemned for all eternity, I also realize that God has appealed to them through me. When I think about the opportunities that are laid before me each day to share the gospel, I'm embarrassed to remember that God is making an appeal through me. Several years ago, I heard a song that really hit home with me. One of the ladies in the church sang this song. She and her husband sang it. And in the song, and I had no idea what any of the song is. But in the song, a co-worker of a Christian had died and was standing at the judgment seat. And they looked to their Christian friend and they said, "You never mentioned him to me." The idea was that many Christians are quite content to call themselves Christians without ever sharing Christ, even to those they're closest with, even to those they work beside day by day for years and decades. Folks, we have to understand that the spreading of God's saving grace is too much a task to be accomplished only by those who are paid professionals. God has appointed a commission, each and every Christian, with sharing your faith. And it's important that each of you repent. It is important that each of you repent and be baptized. And we would all say, yes, amen, that's important. Each of you repent and be immersed into Christ, into the forgiveness of sins. It is equally important that each of us share the message of the gospel. It's important for us to do that, church. And some of us are going to go out, and I don't mean us, I mean some of us, not necessarily me. Some can go out, and we can share the gospel eloquently, beautifully. And we can lay out a wonderful argument about who God is and what He has done through Jesus and what He would have them to do. And we can quote scripture after scripture. We can lay the Bible open and show folks, here's what, and that's fantastic. And there's some of us who think, I can't do that. That's okay. Because you can share Jesus Christ. Because you can share that God loves them. God loves you. You can share with whatever it is that you understand to have become a Christian. You can share that. You don't have to memorize the Bible to share your faith. You certainly have to be willing to share your faith. To share. This is Paul's words as he closes verse 20. We beg you on behalf of Christ be reconciled to God. Don't lose sight of the fact that Paul's writing to the church. We beg you on behalf of Christ be reconciled to God. Paul was even willing to beg people to be reconciled to Christ. He's willing to beg. You talk about somebody who made an eloquent argument. That was Paul. And here he is, begging. Begging. What do I have to do? What can I do? I beg. I get on my knees. Please be reconciled to the God who loves you more than you could ever understand. We must never let an opportunity go by the wayside in our responsibility, in our privilege to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the salvation that's offered through his blood. That is not a particularly pretty story for me. Oh, sure, this is true. And I want us to live a different way. I want all of us to live a different way than what I'm about to tell you. So I told you I worked at Billy Swimming Pool and worked at construction. And from time to time, during the workday, we would have to go back to the store and get materials or tools or something like that. So one of these trips I was back, and it was the summertime, and they had hired a teenage girl, she was running the counter. You know, she was there in case customers came in and wanted to water test it or wanted to buy it, so she was there. And so she and I started a conversation. And she had been working there for 2 or 3 years as a summer job. So I knew her, she knew me. We knew each other at work. And she asked me, this is a teenage girl. I was a deacon at the local church at that time. I was a deacon at the church. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a youth sponsor at that time. She asked me, she said, hey, if you're not doing anything, why don't you come to church with me Sunday? And I said, well, that's a great attitude, man. I said, that's a great attitude. Thank you very much. I appreciate you inviting me. I said, well, actually, then church down the road. As a matter of fact, I'm a deacon down there. And here are her exact words. I didn't know you were a Christian. Yeah, amen. Gosh. We have to live the life as those who have been reconciled to God. Because God is making an appeal through us to others. And if they don't know that we're Christians, if we don't live our life differently, we're not going to bring anybody to Christ. So, finally, verse 21, Paul explains the importance of being reconciled to God. See, we can be ambassadors because Christ sacrificed himself for us. We could not be ambassadors if Christ had not done what he has done. Speaking of Jesus, Paul writes, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Of the many people who have ever walked the earth, only one lived a perfectly sinless life, and that was our Savior. And Jesus knew no sin through his 33 years on this planet. He was tempted just like the rest of us, but he never sinned. But God took that perfectly innocent lamb and allowed him to carry your sins and mine. God allowed his son to take upon himself the sins of all mankind. All those people out there, all those wicked people that we can think about in our world today, all those sinners in our world today, all those people that do nothing but think of evil continually in our world today, Jesus took their sin upon himself. It was for our sins that he bled and died. It was for our sins that he suffered. It was for our sins that he was sacrificed and gave up his life. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Yes, there was an obedience on Jesus' part to do that. There was an obedience to his Father's will. But it was only necessary because of us. It was only necessary because of the way we had lived our lives. Why did God allow that to happen? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. In him, we have become the righteousness of God. Not because we've earned that righteousness. Not because we've lived a good life. Not because we are better than someone else. Not because God loves us more than he loves somebody else. Our reconciliation to God was only by the grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ, so that he might be glorified in all that we say and do. Our salvation, the fact that we are saved, whether it was on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I think that's all the options, right? I held up six fingers, I think there's 7 days. Bible college, no math. Our salvation declares to a lost and dark world that there is a God who loves. A God who has made a way for broken people to come to Him. A God who allowed His Son to die so that we wouldn't have to. Jesus Christ is that way. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus declared to His disciples, as He was explaining to them that He was going to be leaving them, He said, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Jesus sacrificed His own life so that we might be able to have new life, that we might be able to come to our Heavenly Father. We might have new life in Christ. You see, through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ, we, all who are Christians, have been reconciled to God. We have been brought back into a right relationship with God. But we have also been given a responsibility. We've been given the privilege of the ministry of reconciliation. Because we have been reconciled to God, we can share with others how they can be reconciled to God. And the responsibility and the privilege that we have is to share the saving grace of Jesus with that lost and dying and broken and sinful world. That world that God loves so much. Those people that God loves so much. I want to invite the musicians to come back up. And Dave, if you would mind coming back up. Come up here, please. I'll go with this one. Maybe, and I don't know this, I don't know this. It's possible that you're here tonight as a Christian, someone who is immersed in Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, based upon your faith in Jesus Christ, your repentance, your acknowledgement of Him as the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And you are under the grace of God. But you recognize that you're not living your life as an ambassador. Now's the time to repent. Not later, when you get home and you've had something to eat. Not when you crawl under the covers and try to say your prayers before you fall asleep. No. Now. Right now. While the Spirit is working on your heart, now is the time to repent. Not simply to repent. Not simply to turn away. Sometimes we think that's what repentance is. This is sorrow that causes us to turn away from sin. And that's part of it. But then, we strive to live a life that pleases God. We strive to live a life of obedience. Trust and obey. And maybe you're here tonight. You simply want, answers. You have questions. We invite you when the opportunity is given. Simply come on. Talk to Dave. Talk to me. We'll talk to one of the fellows here. We will give you the answers from God's word that you are looking for. Because it is that important. It is that important. Maybe here tonight, you believe that Jesus is the Christ. You believe that He was and is the Son of God who died for your sins. based on that, you've turned away. You have turned away. I don't live that way anymore. God, I'm sorry that I did those things. I don't live that way anymore. I'm going to turn away. And I want to live in obedience to you, to your word, to your son. I want to be a servant. I want to work in that ministry of reconciliation. I want to be reconciled. You're ready to confess it before men and be buried with Jesus Christ in that water grave of baptism. And at that point, your sins are washed away. You symbolically come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And His Spirit will come and dwell within you, and you will rise in a new life, to a new life, an everlasting and abundant life. If you have a decision you'd like to make, whether that's to be reconciled to God in your own life, or to come back to God and accept that ministry of reconciliation that is our responsibility, or if you simply have questions you'd like to answer, won't you come as we stand and as we sing together?